Our scripture today is taken from Luke chapter 12, verses 32 to 40, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created order out of chaos. Those are the beginning words of Hal's Geschichte, which we recite at Heston College in the biblical literature class. In the beginning, God created order out of chaos by his spoken word, Dabar. And as we begin this sermon time this morning of God speaking, I ask you, how is God bringing order out of chaos in your own life this morning? And God is speaking a word for all of us this morning, a word of order, of healing, of reconciliation. What's that word that you need to hear? What's the spoken word? Let's listen together. God, we're grateful for this time to be gathered as your community of believers. Thank you that you are still speaking order in the midst of chaos. Give us the ears to listen this morning of how we join you in this work of bringing order to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. We're starting a new sermon series, and it falls on the beginning of Pentecost, and it's amazing the way these themes pull together this morning, with the beginning of this sermon series and then acknowledging God's Holy Spirit. The title of the sermon series is Bind Us Together. And one of the goals that we hope the worship team, as they were looking at this sermon series, we hope that we, through this series, can develop better relationships with our sisters and brothers in our own faith community, and sisters and brothers who are also persons of marginalized groups. That's part of God bringing order out of chaos, in how we begin to see these relationships around us, even those often marginalized. The author of this worship series, Jim Grosnickel Batterton, saw in this theme a need to learn from one another, a tapestry of diverse voices other than just mostly white men like myself. We need to hear more voices. We need to learn more voices from the global south, the Christian minority communities, resistance workers. Following Jesus has come to mean learning from a diverse group of people around the world, and often groups that are marginalized. So that's the goal here. Bind us together, Lord. And this morning with Pentecost, the prayer is, Holy Spirit, bind us together. The text that we get to explore together is Luke 12:32-40. And thank you, Mim, for reading that for us and bringing us into worship here. According to Luke, in this story, Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem, teaching his disciples. And occasionally, as he's teaching his disciples, there's crowds that are coming that he's attracting along the way. And after sharing the parable of the rich fool, Jesus urges his disciples to dwell, he says, on no earthly concerns. Jesus says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear. Instead, strive for God's kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. That's Luke 12:22, setting up a little context here. And in today's passage, and in light of those words, Jesus now invites his disciples and these crowds to give all that they have away, and to look for how Christ is showing up in the unexpected hour, and to be on guard. Jesus instructs his disciples to not store up more and more and more, but to be generous, to not live in fear of not having enough. As Matthew says in the Lord's Prayer, to live with daily bread. Give us today our daily bread, O God. Wow, I better talk to my Everence advisor on how to practice that well. Let's just acknowledge it's kind of hard to plan well, which all of us want to do, and I think Everence does a great job in other places as well that help with retirement planning. But then also to take these words of Jesus seriously. How do we plan well for retirement and also hear these words not to store up too much? That's why we figure out together how to follow Jesus, because I don't have all the answers there. But I can tell you I have an Everence, Emily and I have an Everence advisor that's very helpful. These are really important conversations. Does Jesus really intend for his disciples then or now to give all they have away? What do we make of this urgency of his instructions? I like Peter's words in verse 41. And if you look at it here, verse 41, Peter says, Lord, are you saying this for us or for everyone? It's not really about me, is it? It's just for everyone, not just us. Those maybe are things that are going on in the back of your mind too, like me. So what then if this is in the context of Jesus calling his disciples to live with daily bread and to give to the poor and to live with generosity and to not store up too much? What then are these purses all about that Jesus talks about? They're certainly not purses to store up more and more and more and more and more. This is a parable. Jesus uses these parables to represent something, a larger message of what it means to live in the kingdom. And so what does it mean to make purses with threads that cannot be rotted by moth or rust? Well, I think it's also important to think about what is this context of being alert and ready for when Jesus, the Master, will come again. And I would invite us to read this from an Anabaptist perspective. Why do I say Anabaptist? Because these texts can be interpreted differently. And not every denomination is going to put the slant on it that I am. And I think that this is truly an Anabaptist reading of the scriptures. In that, while it's easy to think that this is simply about the end times, when Jesus returns, I think that there is, that is true, but there is another message here for us this morning that is equally, if not more important here, that this is about the kingdom of God here and now. And so from an Anabaptist perspective of discipleship, following Jesus now on this earth, I suggest that instead of jumping straight to the end times and being alert from that angle, what if this is more about being alert right here and right now about how God, through Jesus, is showing up in the people that we least expect? Showing up in the most unexpected places and the most unexpected times. And the call here is to be alert and on guard for that unexpected time when we receive the presence of God and are blessed through a relationship that we didn't expect. See, many who would interpret this scripture would do it through the lens of a more Western, and I'm going to say the word, modern framework. What I mean by that is that these texts are almost always from a premillennial theology, which is that they're always talking about when God will return and the rapture. And I would invite all of you to do your own wrestling. I mean, the beautiful thing about a diverse congregation is that all of us bring our own experiences to how we've even grown up thinking about that. But I would really encourage you, as you read texts like this, to explore again, what does this mean for right here and right now? What do these words mean for being alert for God right here? And that's where I think the emphasis on discipleship and following Jesus brings us back to right now. How does this speak to us in that way? What if these threads in this parable are the threads that bind us together and strengthen our relationship with God through community? What if this is speaking about the human family, many of whom we don't even commune with? And that's part of what this sermon series is encouraging us to explore, of how these relationships are the threads that bind us together. And those kinds of treasures are very different than things that we can store up. But yet, material things are often the things that bring moth and do not last eternally. But I think in this context here, these threads of relationships and Jesus showing up in these relationships in unexpected ways are a picture of the kingdom here and now. And so in this parable, there are watchful slaves. Friends, that's us. Watching and waiting. That's you. That's me. And we're called to stay awake, ready to jump into action when the Master arrives. As Christians, Anabaptists, we need to awaken ourselves to meeting Jesus, who comes to us in the form of the other every day. How are we readying ourselves to meet Jesus? Who is he disguised as today? And are we staying awake? Today's Pentecost. This fits so well, because Pentecost is a reversal of the very thing that happened at the Tower of Babel. What happened at the Tower of Babel? People wanted to be like God, and they thought, let's build a tower to get to heaven so we can understand more. Be like God. And what happened? What disrupted the entire thing? Their languages were scattered. And their mission failed. And what happens at Pentecost? It's the reversal of that. No longer are languages scattered, but everyone is speaking in their own native language, and they are able to work together and they understand. And what is fundamentally different about the Tower of Babel and the Pentecost event is that it's no longer in Tower of Babel a self-centered, me, I need to know more. Pentecost is not about me needing to know more, but it's about the Holy Spirit empowering us. Empowering us. And I think it's a beautiful picture of the kingdom at Pentecost, where no longer our language is scattered, but everybody knows in the diversity of languages and cultures and traditions, they're coming together empowered by the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is about appreciating how God works in diverse ways through the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does to us. It stretches us. It changes us. It forms us. It takes the fear out of the other. It's important to note that this text here this morning that was read for us starts with, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." But what is it that holds us away from the very vision of Pentecost, of that diversity of languages? I think it's fear often. That is what holds us back. But here we have the words in this parable, do not be afraid. And so an invitation for all of us, myself included. How are we inviting the God of Pentecost into our life this morning? Where we are letting go of the fear of the other and recognizing the great diversity of the kingdom and welcoming it in and allowing it to change who we are. I'm struck by, during college, a fundamental part of often a four-year degree is doing some kind of a cross-cultural experience. EMU, Goshen, other colleges, secular as well, state schools, have some kind of a learning, serving experience. At Goshen, it's called study service term. It could be at EMU, it's very similar. And what really strikes me as very important in these experiences is that there is an emphasis on learning from the other. It's not just going in and serving right away. In fact, they would say that actually does harm. The most important thing to do first is learn from the other. Often going into places where people have been marginalized, where it's not mostly white men preaching. How do we learn in these diverse contexts, in these communities? And it's very important in those years of formation to have those experiences of whether a few weeks or 3 months of learning. Learning something new from someone that is different than you. I think the problem with too many mission trips is that there isn't enough learning that happens first. Hearing their stories, their context, their history, their culture, their faith, their spirituality. We want to slap God on them and run. And that's bad mission. We need relationships. We need to learn from them, grow with them, study with them, be in community with them. And that's the invitation here. That's the invitation of Pentecost. That's the invitation of Jesus to be alert and awake for that unexpected relationship that we're actually going to see God in. And so, Whitmer Heights, how do we continue to learn from marginalized groups? How do we learn about their triumphs and their struggles? How do we learn about the ways we've actually caused harm sometimes? As we begin to walk alongside other groups and learn and embrace them, we need to be realistic about ourselves and acknowledge that we too might change, and that is vulnerable and scary. Knowingly or unknowingly, freeing or begrudgingly, but that is the work of the gospel. It's going to change us. The Holy Spirit brings transformation into the likeness of Christ. This is already happening here. I see it. I've heard your stories of your times of service and going. Don and Judy, you gave us a beautiful example of that when you shared a few weeks ago of how the most significant thing for you was what you learned in those relationships and how it changed who you were. So there was an example there, and there's countless other examples. And in fact, right now, Maria is on one of these study service terms with EMU, and she's learning and growing and changing, one of our own. And there's others of our college students who are doing the same thing right now. I think when we learn and we go into these communities and we receive, it's not just about gaining more knowledge. No, this is learning more about who God is too. This isn't just about us and others. Let's take it back to God, because God is the creator of all of these people. God is a diverse God. God in Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is inviting us to get out of our bubble and be changed, transformed through the Holy Spirit. In conclusion, I would like to read a prayer. It's an Orthodox poem, and it's a prayer for Pentecost. So join me in prayer. Holy Spirit, tongue of fire, descend upon us as you descended upon the disciples gathered together. Sanctify us, free us from the bondage of sin, and give us your power to speak with one voice. Rushing wind, sweep over our lands and make your sound gather again the devout people from every nation under heaven. Help us manifest together the victory of life over death given through the resurrection, making us signs of the living hope and witnesses of your peace. Giver of life, abide in us, transform our former selves into a new life in faithfulness to God's will. Along with all others with whom we live, with all nations and people, we would enter a new time, a time of transformation, when hatred is replaced by love, violence by dialogue, condemnation by forgiveness, self-centeredness by sharing. Power of unity, help us to move from division, from the boundaries we use to divide ourselves from one another. Move us to unity in the diversity of our gifts, traditions, and cultures. Make us messengers of the good news, apostles of peace. Come, Holy Spirit. Transform this humble gathering of followers of Jesus into the living church, the listening church, the speaking church, the acting church, the reconciling church, the church of Jesus Christ. We are your people, people of dreams and visions, people of hope and witness, people of love and service. Burn away with your Holy Spirit all that is false within us. Ignite in us a passion for the living word in action among us. Open our hearts to your word for us this day and evermore. Amen.